Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following is a KMOX Sports presentation.
I thought we played solid hockey. I know some people can talk about we lost 2-goal lead against Calgary, but we've been on the road for 8 days. We won at the time 6 in a row, I think, now 7. So I was impressed with the guys, the way they've reacted to different situations, and we just keep going at it. And same thing tomorrow. We got to find a way to get the 2 points.
We're down to 12 healthy forwards right now. I think in our game in Calgary, I think we had 8 players on our roster with less than 200 NHL games, and we started five guys with less than 100 at the start of camp, at the start of the season. So it's an experienced league, and we just want to make sure that to see if there was any experienced players who came to help us.
When you have the puck, you try and keep it. Yeah, you don't try and force anything in overtime, just because there is so much room on the ice, and try not to get tired. If you have a chance to make a line change at the right time, I think guys are putting each other in good spots, and it forces guys to have fresh legs out there and able to score some goals.
The way we're built right now, I think we have certain young guys inserted in our lineup right now, which is a good thing, and they're doing very well. Guys down there, they're playing well down there, and I think bringing in a couple of veteran players that have played in the league for some time and had success already, know how to play. It's not a bad thing. We'll take a look at him and see over that.
I think he has a really good chance. I'm extremely proud of him, but not surprised. Talented guy, works hard, very intentional on how he goes about his day and what his expectations are. So those are the things that attract you about someone like him, and certainly hopeful that he does win it.
Love for fans to support the University of Missouri and to support the student athletes that go pour in so many things throughout the week and then go line up and play for 3.5 hours. This group has done a lot of really good things. We've still got a chance to get bowl eligible. We need the next win to have that happen. We need a home field advantage. And, the Mizzou faithful and the Mizzou fans, they understand the reasons that we need the support.
Put a lot of energy into just trying to get a better understanding of what perhaps the trade market looks like. Obviously, this first week out in Arizona will be spent mostly meeting with agents and just trying to get a sense of what that looks like. But, from our standpoint, we feel pretty good about where we are. We're certainly going to try to explore what ways we think we can get better.
Sports of Atlanta on the Monday night. Chris Raby with you on KMOX. It is the Monday, November 11th, 2019 edition of the program. Happy to be with you until 8 o'clock tonight. You just heard from David Perron, Doug Armstrong, Craig Berube, and Braden Schenn as the Blues come back off the road and get ready for the Arizona Coyotes tomorrow night. John Mozeliak and Barry Odom. Man, rough weekend for Missouri Tigers. Good weekend for Illinois. Hanging out until late tonight. We'll talk a lot of hockey. We'll talk some baseball. We'll talk a little college football as well. Here's what I've got planned on the program. Coming up in about 10 minutes, Mike Petriello of MLB.com going to join us to give us his thoughts on the offseason now underway. GM meetings coming up, as you just heard from Mo. His thoughts on Mike Shildt as well and more. 6:45, Darren Pang going to join us. Bringing the Pang a couple of times a week. Here on KMOX, we'll get Panger's thoughts on the Blues road trip. 7 wins in a row. Couple of new faces around for the next 10 days. Troy Brower and Jamie McGinn on some professional tryouts. 7 o'clock hour, we'll call our Sports Open Line East Coast hockey correspondent, Brian Bach, to give us his thoughts on what's going on in the league right now. And also, we'll hear from Mo. And talk a little Mizzou. All that coming up over the next hour and 40 minutes. If you want to get in touch with the program, we invite you to do so at 436-7900, 314-436-7900, or 800-925-1120. Follow me on Twitter. Tweet me at CHRABE, CHRABE. Tweet us at KMOX Sports. That's where you'll get breaking news, behind-the-scenes photos, and more. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Mr. Bojangles, I don't care who.
Shout out to Dave. Ben Boyd, the executive producer of the program.
Well, we care about you, Dave.
Okay.
That's all you got?
I love Camo X, man.
Zach Schmitz, my guy. Here in the KMOX studios tonight, and we talk just about everything here over the next couple of hours. Got to give a big shout-out to the Ollie Hinkle Heart Foundation. Had a great time last night emceeing their event at the Four Seasons, along with Jen Myers from Y98, raising unbelievable amounts of money for research and advancements when it comes to children born with congenital heart defects, and so cool to see so many of the kids there and helping us out and a big part of it, the Heart Warriors, the kids who have battled and put stuff in perspective. So that was a fantastic Sunday afternoon yesterday, and big thanks to all of the restaurants that came out, all of the wineries and wine distributors who came out, and breweries as well, and everyone enjoyed a really, really fantastic afternoon and evening. Shout out to Rockwell Beer, too, as I enjoyed getting to know those guys a little bit. And shout out to Jonathan Moxie, head brewer over there, one of my fraternity brothers at Mizzou. Got to give J-Mox a call and get hooked up with some beers. It's Big Al. Hey, Al.
Graves.
What up?
Coming in from traffic A1, Big Al, and Highway 70 is completely shut down. It's an ice rink. And I would like to ask MoDOT, since we were golfing yesterday and you already knew that it was going to go to 20 soon, and when we had this snow coming, that it's going to probably be like Atlanta and go ice, and then whatever you were expecting and didn't see coming, we're all sitting here on 70 West and Page Extension and everywhere on literally an ice rink.
All right, Al, I've got an idea. I'm just going to back away, and I want your takes to melt the ice, all right? All right, go for it.
Here's my take.
Heat it up, baby!
Hey, Mo, here we go. Hey, Mo, quit signing bad players and drop the bomb. Light up the streets. And anyway, thank God I got a huge cup in my car, Rabs. Because it really just came in handy right now.
Did the ice melt?
And, I just want
to take melt the ice.
Oh yeah, that didn't melt. I ain't kidding you. I think I did when I poured it out. But listen, I want him to keep sign Brower because I got a jersey in my closet that I can bust back out, and I think we need him and some experience. So Brower's he'll go to the net, and that's what we need. And like I said again, thanks MoDOT. Wake up. Hello. See ya.
Big Al, just roll down the window and start shouting some takes out your window. Those hot takes will They'll melt that ice and snow right up. They'll melt it right up. Yeah, here's what, again, Doug Armstrong said today. A couple of things. First on bringing in Brower and Jamie McGinn, a couple of veterans, and then why doing that instead of bringing young guys up.
We're down to 12 healthy forwards right now. I think in our game in Calgary, I think we had 8 players on our roster with less than 200 NHL games, and we started five guys with less than 100 at the start of camp, so or at the start of the season. So it's an experienced league, and we just want to make sure that to see if there was any experienced players that came in to help us.
So that's Armstrong on the veterans coming in.
With our depth down in the American Hockey League, we're really excited the way Walker's playing and Costin and Kyrou. But again, you look at their experience, it's not there. So we don't want to get in a situation where we have, you know, 11 or 12 players without experience. So as I said, there's no guarantees on for Jamie or for Troy, but we're going to bring them in and take a look at them.
Yeah, Troy Brower is certainly a big goal in Blues history, that goal in Game 7 against the Chicago Blackhawks. And as far as Jamie McGinn, here's Ryan O'Reilly.
He fit in well with our style. You know, he's a guy that, you know, can play on any line. He's physical. He goes to the net. He makes little plays. You know, he's a guy that, I think that this, you know, our group, he fit in real nice with where he can adapt and be in all situations. So it's definitely good. And also inside the room too, you know, once he gets comfortable in those guys, but better, he's a great voice and says the right things at the right time. So he also helps us out that way, being more vocal, and especially with guys like Steven going down and stuff like that. So it's a good opportunity here, and I obviously hope everything goes well and he can join our club.
It's Ryan O'Reilly on Jamie McGinn, a couple of guys, McGinn and Brower, coming in on professional tryouts. All right, Darren Pang is going to join us in about 20 minutes, but we're going to switch gears and kick off with a little bit of baseball. When we come back, we will talk Cardinals, we'll talk offseason, we will preview the general manager's meetings, what we expect out of that, and then what will carry over into the winter meetings. Mike Petriello of MLB.com going to be with us next. Chris Raby on Sports Open Line on a Monday night. Be safe if you are out there on the roads and you don't have Al's takes to clear a path for you. Zach Schmidt in the house as well, back in a moment, talking Cardinals and baseball with Mike and KMOX.
Welcome back to the Munganass St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line. Munganass St. Louis Honda on South Lindbergh on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Put a lot of energy into just trying to get a better understanding of what perhaps the trade market looks like. Obviously, this first week out in Arizona, I'll be spent mostly meeting with agents and just trying to get a sense of what that looks like. But, you know, from our standpoint, we feel pretty good about where we are. We're certainly going to try to explore what ways we think we can get better. People love this way of knowing everything. They take one short look and then move on.
All right, John Mozeliak, he was on with Tom on Sports on a Sunday yesterday. We'll hear from Mo a little bit later. Chris Raby just getting started on a Monday night on Sports Open Line, hanging out until 8 o'clock. And we kick off with a little bit of baseball and say hello to Mike Petriello from MLB.com, who joins us on the program. Mike, happy almost general manager meetings.
Hey, Chris. I can't wait.
What's going on, man? The offseason underway, and I don't know, maybe it's because I think people in St. Louis are optimistic after a Cardinals postseason berth. And I think personally, after seeing some of the star power in the World Series and some of the star power that are going to be on the open market in the World Series, I have hopes that maybe the offseason, maybe the market, as Mo just alluded to, will move a little bit more quickly, or perhaps for all of us media folks and fan types, be maybe a little bit more exciting and provide a little bit more to talk about, especially early on.
Yeah, I think we're all hoping that, you know, and it's hard to tell how much of that is based on reality and how much of it is
right,
just us sort of wish casting it, you know, because there's definitely part of this that's simply not going to change until a new collective bargaining agreement, and that's still another couple years out. But the one thing that gives me a little bit of hope here is if you look around the sport, there's been a lot of turnover in front offices this year, you know, and I think there's a lot of these teams that have maybe have new guys who are kind of coming in to make an impact right now, or have, you know, current guys who are maybe feeling the heat a little bit, like, for example, San Diego, right? 9 straight losing seasons, and they've pretty much made it clear that that's not good enough anymore. They spent on Hosmer and they spent on Machado. They got a lot of young, good players coming up, but the season's not good enough right now. You know, you look at the Angels. I don't think Joe Maddon went there to tread water and be with a team that's not good enough. I imagine he has some sort of assurances. So maybe I'm grasping at straws here, but I'm hopeful it'll be a little more interesting this year.
You know, as we get into awards season, I'm curious to get your perspective, and we chat with Mike Petriello of MLB.com right now. We were talking about Mike Schilt a little bit earlier and his, I guess, spot in the final three or the top three vote getters, however it actually breaks down, for National League Manager of the Year. I'm wondering, from your vantage point, Mike, when you have had a vote for Manager of the Year, when you're considering who you would vote for, how do we seem to balance the job a guy does over the course of the season versus maybe perceptions of a team or expectations of a team preseason, and then how maybe certain teams tend to overperform in our eyes?
It's a really good question. I am eligible for one of those votes. I've never had a Manager of the Year vote, and to be perfectly honest, I hope I never get one, because the next person who tells me a good way to evaluate managers will be the first. And it's kind of funny, if you look at the finalists in both leagues, who's missing, right? Dave Roberts isn't there, and AJ Hinch isn't there. And those two teams won a combined, like, 220-something games. It's like they're being demerited for having a historically good season because they were sort of expected to. So, you know, did Mike Schilt do a better job than Brian Snicker? I have absolutely no idea. I don't think anybody does, but it sort of makes it interesting because there's not a wrong answer. You know, it's hard to say this guy got robbed, that guy got robbed. Mike Schilt from the outside seems like he did a good job, but so did Brian Snicker, so did all the guys in the managerial finalists. That one is just the toughest nut to crack every single year.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I was thinking about this in relation to, like, the Blues and the run they went on last year and the NHL. And despite the fact that, you know, Joel Quenneville won 3 Stanley Cups with the Blackhawks over a span of 6 years, he never won a Coach of the Year, a Jack Adams Award, as the head coach of the Blackhawks.
Yeah, that's
and probably
because
they were just
right
expected
there
to be good every year, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, the fact that, like I said, AJ Hinch wasn't even nominated as a finalist.
Yeah.
I mean, did he not do a great job? Of course he did a great job. Yes, he had great players. But how do you take that away from him? Like, he certainly got the job done, got to the World Series, didn't win it all, obviously. But the fact that neither he nor Roberts is there, I mean, it kind of takes a little bit away from it for me.
Read Mike Petriello at MLB.com. Follow him on Twitter at Mike_Petriello. You had a great piece about Marcell Ozuna and his last couple of years. He's obviously a guy that could be headed to free agency if he does not accept the Cardinals qualifying offer. Cardinals made the big move for him a couple of years ago after Giancarlo Stanton essentially, well, I guess, did turn them down. And you really put an interesting spin on Ozuna in the last 2 years. And I think in, you know, reading the piece and seeing some of your tweets, is weird the best way to sum up his last 2 seasons in St. Louis as a Cardinal?
I would say so. And it's not just about the time he tried to climb the wall to get to that ball that wasn't home run. you guys all know in 2017 with the Marlins, they had a really fantastic, the Cardinals gave up a lot to trade for him, you know, and they expected big things. And he's had his moments, like in the NLDS this year, he and Goldschmidt were the only 2 guys who were hitting, and he certainly crushed some giant homers, but he's been more like good than great. You know, he's been slightly above average. And what was interesting to me is if you look at the underlying metrics, you know, you look at the Statcast, the exit velocity, the hard hit rate, all this stuff, it's all really good. You know, he cut his strikeout rate is below league average, so like slightly better than average. He had a huge increase in walk rate. You know, all these things are pointing up, especially with his past history, but he was only, like, okay. And what I was interested in figuring out is why. Because it's interesting to me, you can have a guy who's just okay and you figure, well, that's sort of what I expected he'd be. Or you can have a guy where you just think there's to be so much more. And I dug into it, and the numbers were a little more dense than I'm going to read through on the radio. But what I think I came away with is that the reason he is underperforming is not necessarily because of bad luck. It's because he's become a little bit predictable in where he's hitting the ball. And I think other teams have just had the ability to position him perfectly. Like, it's great to hit the ball hard. It absolutely is. But if you're hitting it hard to the same spot every time and the shortstop is always there, it's not going to do much for you. So I don't know what to make of that going forward. I don't know necessarily that a team can help him fix that. I don't know maybe if it's the shoulder or the fingers that's the cause of it, but I do know I'd rather have a guy who has some history of great performance, which he does, and still positive underlying metrics, which he does. You know, I'd rather have that kind of guy than a guy who had to have a career year just to get to the only okay season he just had.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the frustrating thing, too, and especially as the Cardinals have looked for kind of those impact guys in the middle of the lineup. It was not just some of the inconsistency offensively, and he certainly put up still pretty good numbers and, you know, carried them at certain times when nobody else is doing much offensively. But you couple that with the defense declining, and I know he's a left fielder. I'm not saying that I need, you know, a gold glove caliber guy in left field, but the defense declining and just, yeah, some of the unexplainable inconsistencies. That's what I think, if you ask Cardinal fans, you know, would you want him back? It's a tough question.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. It sounds like he's not going to accept the qualifying offer. If he did, then obviously you'd love to have him back for 1 year.
Yeah, I'd be surprised, but I think.
I don't think he will either. But you're right. I mean, if he leaves, you're probably right that some Cardinals fans would be like, you know what, that's okay. We have a ton of outfielders. We could try Lane Thomas or Randy Rosarino, or here comes, you know, Dylan Carlson or Tyler O'Neill, all those guys. Like, perfectly fine. But the problem is, this wasn't a good offense last year. It was an okay offense. We certainly saw that in the postseason. And it's tough, you know, with some of the stars aging. Yeah, I'll bet on Goldschmidt to be a little better, but can't say I'm betting on much more from, you know, Carpenter or Fowler or Yadi Molina next year. You know, you hope DeJong looks more like he did in April than for the next 5 months. But I have a really hard time, if he leaves, seeing how this offense is going to be good enough without importing somebody. You know, and I don't know who that is. It's not going to be Rendon, obviously. But if he leaves and they don't replace him, this offense is not good enough to get to the playoffs, in my opinion.
Mike Petriello is with us from MLB.com. How about the pitching market this offseason? And not just, you know, the Gerrit Cole and Steven Strasburgs, but what do you see in terms of quality, in terms of depth, in terms of maybe some buy low guys? What's out there, and how do you think that depth within the market will affect maybe how it starts to move?
Yeah, I learned a lot about this the last couple of days. I did a fun exercise with a noted Cardinals fan, Will Leach, who is one of our writers at MLB.com. We drafted 25-man rosters from free agent teams, and I learned a lot doing it because what I found is the starting pitching market is really, really good and deep. There's no middle infielders, it's a couple of relievers, but if you need a starting pitcher, there's tons of them. Yes, obviously Cole, Strasburg, Bumgarner, all those names. But you can go a little bit deeper than that, too. Like Zach Wheeler, I like a lot. You know, there's guys like, good bet on Rick Porcello, Tanner Roark, Homer Bailey. It's not hard to find a pretty decent veteran starter. And I think, you know, a team like the Cardinals is probably going to need that. And this is the deepest part of the market this year. It's hard to find an impact bat. You know, obviously Rendon, you could go Josh Donaldson, would be a really interesting fit for St. Louis. But I think they could probably stand to add another starter or two, because much as I enjoy Adam Wainwright from a distance, I'm never really sure I'm counting on him for more than another week or two at a time, you know, and I feel like they need just a little bit more depth.
Well, and I think if you're the Cardinals too, like, that would be the quickest way to double down on your strength, right? And while, yeah, you wish you could get Anthony Rendon, or, you know, you wish you could pluck any one of a number of guys from that World Series from either the Astros or the Nationals, you can't. So how do you get better in this market as quickly as possible is the question, right?
Yeah, absolutely right. So that's a good way to do it. There's some pretty interesting relievers out there. I don't think nationally the Cardinals bullpen got enough credit for being as good as it was last year, especially after losing Hicks, and they didn't really get anything out of Alex Reyes. But there are still some names out there, like Drew Pomeranz, I think, is a name I'm pretty big on. And most people look at him and say, okay, mediocre starter, hasn't been good in the last couple of years, big deal. He got moved to the bullpen in the middle of the year, and for the rest of the year, he had like a 50% strikeout rate. He was basically Josh Hader. And, you know, that sounds like the next Andrew Miller to me. You know, you guys have Andrew Miller right now. There are guys out there like that. And I think, you know, if you're not sure about the offense and you're not sure where you're getting the offense, making the best pitching staff you possibly can is a good way to combat that.
Another minute with Mike Petriello as we talk Major League Baseball and the offseason. Who are you most excited about in terms of this offseason, whether it be someone that could be moved via trade or, you know, I would say like Gerrit Cole or Rendon, but, you know, the Boris guys, who knows? We've seen them over the last couple of years, January, February, sit around and kind of wait and almost become kind of anticlimactic in terms of, I guess, Harper last year.
Well, that's part of it, too. Like, there's probably, you know, 8 or 10 different reasons that the offseason has been a little slow the last couple of years. Certainly some teams being too risk-averse, some teams, you know, not being willing enough to spend, I would say, are probably the two highest reasons, but you're right. Scott Boras does advise his clients to wait as long as possible, and he has a ton of them this year. So that could slow things down a little bit. But as far as teams go, probably the two teams that stand out to me the most are the Angels and the White Sox. The Angels, just because you have Mike Trout, you have Shohei Ohtani, you have Joe Maddon. Mike Trout has never won a playoff game. If they're not going to go out and add Cole or Strasburg or somebody now, they never will. And the White Sox, they've been rebuilding forever. And if you look at the second half of the year, Moncada was great. Giolito was great. Michael Kopech is coming back. They seem like a team that could really make some noise in what's kind of a lousy American League Central. Who knows if they'll do it, but those are kind of the teams that are interesting to me right now.
Mike Petriello from MLB.com. Find him on Twitter at Mike_Petriello. Appreciate it, man. Keep up the great work, and hope to see you next month in San Diego.
All right, thanks, guys. Take care.
All right, thanks, brother. That's Mike Petriello talking baseball. Great stuff. And the Ozuna piece was awesome. Go check it out at MLB.com. It's linked on his Twitter. Really, really good stuff and some interesting things to consider. Darren Pang will consider some Blues talk next as we bring the Pang on KMOX.
To the Munganass St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line. Munganass St. Louis Honda on South Limburg on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Well, for a little hockey talk, we turn it over, pinch hitting for Tom Ackerman to our guy, Maurice Drummond.
Welcome back to the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. Time to bring the Pang. Our conversation with Darren Pang of Fox Sports Midwest in this segment brought to you by T.R. Hughes Homes, St. Charles Premier, new home builder. And Panger, good morning, and how is your Monday?
My Monday is fantastic. We had a long road trip. Got back late yesterday afternoon, maybe 3, 4 o'clock, to beautiful weather here in St. Louis, and then turn around this morning and we've got it just like we just had it in Western Canada. A little bit colder, that's for sure.
Well, you know what? The weather, Panger, cold, but man, are the Blues hot. 7 straight wins, and when you're talking about going through Western Canada and, you know, playing against some tough competition up there, you know, it's funny. I guess we can now say Stanley Cup hangover of any sort wiped away. And you know, it's funny, Panger, this team, they really have just a strong look of a strong defending champion.
They really have, and I really haven't even felt like they've had a Stanley Cup hangover. I just think that the group that Doug Armstrong has put together are a bunch of pros, Mo. They go about their business. They hang out together. I've never seen a team in my time in the NHL as tight-knit as this group. And you know what? When that happens, when you believe in one another, then you get on that ice, no matter what happens, you stick up for one another. And, yeah, early on, maybe they relinquished some leads, or maybe they didn't play their very, very best, but they were still in every game. And now I look at this team, and I'm thinking to myself, it reminds me of how they played when they went on that 11-game winning streak last year and really put themselves in the spot to contend with in the playoffs. So really exciting to watch. I know on John Kelly and I, we get ready for every game, and we are pumped up because we know something is, you know, something good is going to happen because they never let the game get away from them.
Yeah, you got the Blues hosting Arizona tomorrow night back home at Enterprise Center. And just watching this team, Panger, you're talking about a team that's won 5 overtime games out of their last 7. And this team doesn't flinch in these overtime situations. When you look at the way they're playing now, is this really the product of maybe the Stanley Cup medal? Maybe this new layer of tough skin that they got from winning a championship?
No question about that. The ability to win in Game 7 on the road for the ultimate prize, I mean, if that doesn't give you the belief that you can do anything, I don't know what does. And you can see it in the way that these players handle themselves. The way that the responsibility of a Stanley Cup champion, not just on the ice, but off the ice, and the way, you know, the way they treat people, the way that they know that they are the defending Stanley Cup champions. And you know what? They act like pros. And, you know, the only thing that I would say that they're disappointed in, the only thing, is that they've had 5 2-goal leads slip away from them. And we all know that down the stretch, That's not going to happen with this team. But when they get into tight situations, that's when you're seeing what you're talking about. That's when you're seeing that mettle, that belief that this game will not get away from us. And, you know, in the past, when the Blues went into 3-on-3, I wasn't so confident. But now with the chemistry of especially the tandems, when you see Ryan O'Reilly and David Perron jump onto the ice, when you see Alex Pietrangelo jump on, no matter who he jumps on with, something good's going to happen. And maybe not a 3-on-0 like we saw in Vancouver, which was incredible. But, even the David Perron play, the Ryan O'Reilly snapping on the power play, there's just a lot of a lot of confidence when they jump over the boards that they're going to score a goal or make a good play.
Yeah, you know, we beat the players up pretty good all during the offseason. Even when they came in for training camp about, hey, do you guys think you're going to get everyone's best punch? From where you and John Kelly sit and traveling with the team, do you almost feel, you know, not necessarily a circus atmosphere, but do you feel that energy in these buildings now and from these teams and other broadcasters when the Blues kind of come into their arenas now?
We do, absolutely. And I know just speaking for myself, and I'm sure John and Chris Kerber and Joe Vitale would all say the same thing, that it is so fun going into rinks and having other broadcasters say, well, congratulations, how was it? How was the ceremony? Like, it won't go away. And that's the fun part about it, and it energizes you. Also, going in and speaking to the other team's coaches, they've taken the Blues, blueprint, and they've looked at that, and they go over with their players, and they say to their players, this is the way you play the game. So, yes, you're getting the other team's best because the coach automatically pinpoints all the good things that the Blues have done to win a Stanley Cup and the way they play every single night, whether it be the ability to take a hit to make a play, whether it be the ability to be on the defensive side of the puck instead of cheating on the offensive side of the puck. I've heard it from numerous coaches that the Blues are preparing to play against. And so when you know that the other team's preparing that way and there's that excitement in the building and you're going to sold-out arenas, then it gets your attention. And you can see that with our players. They're excited to go to the rink no matter what the schedule is like. And then they get on the ice and they're just having fun and ready to go.
Pleased to be joined by Darren Pang, the spectacular analyst from Fox Sports Midwest. And, you know, you mentioned O'Reilly and Perron. These two guys, Panger, there's some magic going on right now. When did it begin, and what's going on with the synergy between O'Reilly and Perron?
Well, there was a lot of times last year where you could see that happening, especially in the small area game. And so I'm talking about similar to the power play goal that was scored in Calgary, where it had to be 5 to 7 feet away. That's how close Ryan O'Reilly was from David Perron. So it's not like this. It's not like it's a fantastic seam path at the heel to toe that goes, 35 feet. These are small area games that these guys have got a great knack. They're passing ability to one another. So getting back to your question, I didn't see it as much last year, although there was times where you saw it a lot. But this year, it's way different. I mean, it is way different. And I do believe that, the power play is humming. I think Mark Savard that we brought in, he was in the retirement because of concussion situation. Then he went and he did some coaching in minor hockey. And then he did some analytical work on the TV and radio side. And then Craig Berube brought him in. I think that there's a confidence that they all have that when they hop over the boards, they're gonna score a goal, not just make a play or not just get it close. I mean, they're going to score a goal. And it starts with the confidence of David Perron. He's never been shy with confidence. And I think for me, the way that he's playing now is the best that he's ever played in the NHL. Now he'll argue with you. He'll tell you that he played this well before. But I watch from my vantage point and I say, no way. This is unbelievable. The way that he's playing, the way he's making plays and his overall game. But he and Ryan O'Reilly are fun to watch. And you've got Shannon, you've got Schwartz, and now I think that Robert Thomas is playing some great hockey on that top line. So things are really rounding in good shape here.
Well, our final thoughts here with Darren Pang. And you bring up Robert Thomas. I want to bring up two guys because you got the injuries right now going with Alex Steen and Tarasenko. And even though these guys that I'm going to mention aren't necessarily guys who replaced them, but just guys that we're looking to get more from. And that would be Robert Thomas and Sammy Blais. Two young guys who are going to be really, really highly thought of, obviously very talented. But what do you see for their track right now, Panger?
Well, I mean, what I see is two players that are finding out what consistency is all about. Two players that are finding out what it's like playing with veteran players that don't want you to run around and not make a play. They want you to hold on to pucks. They want you to put it in safe areas so that you get it back. They don't want it one and done where you try to stick handle through a guy or you make a fancy junior play and then the puck gets turned over. That's what I see in those players. I see maturity and responsibility. And you're right. No one's ever going to replace Alexander Steen. I mean, Jacob DeLaRose won't replace Alexander Steen, but he's going to fit in nicely on that line because he's a defending player. On the offensive side of it, hey, listen, maybe Robert Thomas and Sammy Blake combined can make up for the lack of points or goals from a Vladdy Tarasenko. But overall, all you want is them to develop the right way, and I think they're doing that right now. And I believe that Doug Armstrong's looking around the league and seeing, is there veteran players that he can look at that can be a depth player? Because from what I understand, he seems to be happy with the development of the minor league players being young like that and keeping them there and maybe not throwing them into this spot.
That's Darren Pang with Mo Drummond, bringing the Pang, brought to you by T.R. Hughes Homes. And he certainly did, as Armstrong went out and Troy Brower and Jamie McGinn in on PTOs for the next 10 days. Big thanks to Panger and Mo. We'll take a break and be back after the news. Going to talk some more hockey in the 7 o'clock hour, some baseball, Mizzou as well. Chris Raby with you, Zach Schmidt in the house. Sports Online until 8 o'clock on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.